Lord, to help us to bring out what He would have us bring out this evening. Look over in the book of Nehemiah. Look in the 8th chapter. Now we have, at the end of a 10-day meeting, we've heard a lot of messages. And some of the messages have stirred about us. Some of them have challenged us. Some of those messages have told us at the earlier part of the meeting, they seem like the messages told us that, remember the one about the cup? How the Lord blessed the cup and handed it to us. And we think about that cup sometimes. It wasn't a pleasant thing. It's not something that we go out and seek for, something that's difficult. But as Brother Marty brought that out, it sure rung true in my heart to think of how the Lord is able. Not only is He able, but sometimes I believe He orchestrates, He blesses, He brings things to us that would be a help to our soul. You see, He doesn't want us lost. He doesn't want us getting complacent with life, getting our mind on other things. He wants to send the things that we need in our life that we might make heaven our home. Reminded of the song that we sing sometimes, He knows exactly what I need to walk this narrow way. Jesus knows how to keep me humble and how to make me pray. He knows that when the clouds cover the sky and when I'm walking through the valley low, that I'll be on my knees calling on Him. There's no other place to go. I think the Lord would have us also settle some things in our heart and our mind that I'm going through. Anyway, we had some messages that pointed out those places of being willing to embrace suffering if that's what the Lord gives us. I believe that as we obey the Lord and follow through those places of suffering or difficulties, I think on the other side there's a much greater weight of glory. These light afflictions work for us. They bring something good in our future. Young folks, if the Lord begins to work with you and you have some hard things, don't blame it all on the devil. Don't start thinking that I'm going to escape this and it's too hard. I'm going to go the other way. Just turn around and look at the Lord and tell Him, Lord, I want to serve You. It's okay if we don't understand what's going on right now in our life. But submit and trust. He's a good shepherd. I believe that the Lord will make it a blessing in your life. You can look back. I know I can look back over my life and see some of the things that at the time that I went through it, I sure didn't count them as a pleasure. But looking back, I can see what the Lord was doing, or at least what the Lord brought out of it. And so, we've had a good meeting. Hope we had some things we put in our pockets or in our memories, and some things, maybe the meeting after a certain amount of time, some of those things that the Lord gave us early on kind of get washed out with all. You notice what he ever felt like that? Well, what was it that Brother Marty preached that first message? Sometimes we forget. Well, they're recorded. So we can go back and have refreshers. Sometimes we write down some notes, and that helps us too. Well, Brother Doug said something this morning about us, about the book. Remember the book when they went cleaning out the temple, getting it restored? They found a book in there that had been neglected. It had been left over in the corner, and as Brother Doug mentioned this morning, it didn't happen overnight. Those things incrementally come. That reminded me of the verse that talks about thy want shall come, or thy poverty, thy loss, your it will come as a man, as a traveling man, as one who travels. And there's different ways of looking at that, but I sometimes like to look at it like this. It's step by step. It's not suddenly. Generally, we don't lose the Lord suddenly. Generally, it's incremental as a result of not caring enough, not being diligent. I think that's part of the reason why Jesus looked at people and said, watch and pray. We don't recognize sometimes when, if we're complacent, we don't recognize when the thief is about. And may the Lord help us to be careful. Well, over here in Nehemiah, we have the book makes an appearance here in this chapter, 8th chapter of Nehemiah. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man. I don't know, after there had been such a decline in their midst, maybe the passion for service to the Lord had completely waned and went away, but somewhere they had been stirred and come to this place. Now they were restoring what had been stolen from them. The walls of Jerusalem had been broken down, and there was a restoration beginning to happen. And they got this book and began to read. And the people now, coming back, there was a fresh stirring in their heart. I doubt seriously if they all was able to tell what God required of them. They may not even known very well about the seventh day and how to observe that, the Sabbath day. There was a whole lot of things they probably didn't know very well. But the Lord was receiving the hunger of their soul, the honesty and desire to serve Him. And they gathered together. The people gathered themselves together as one man. They all had the same purpose here this day. They were interested. What's in this book? As one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women. They were all gathered together in this congregation, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midnight. Now, we haven't done that yet in this meeting. But this was quite a meeting. Notice this. Seemed like the people had a desire. There was something stirring about them. They had hunger. We hadn't heard this book for a long time. 7 years we've been down there in Babylon. Coming back here, and now I want to hear what thus saith the Word of God. Before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Where was it I just read here? He read therein, third verse, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate in the morning, from the morning until midday. Therefore, I read that midnight, didn't I, before? I was wrong by that. It was midday is what should have been, what I should have said. Before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for that purpose, and beside him stood, and I'm not going to go over all those names there, I'm going to have a hard time pronouncing them. So I'm going to go on now to the, but there's quite a few there that stood beside him. Fifth verse now said, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. I imagine there was some expectation when that book began to be opened. I don't know what that meeting must have been like that day. But it had been the first time they'd seen that book open for a long time. And I think there was a great hunger and a desire to hear the book. You know, Brother Doug said something this morning about our doctrine, about the way things that we should embrace. Dear ones, if it's not found in the Word of God, that's where it's got to be founded. That's where it's got to be. And if it's found there, embrace it with all of our heart. And here they were listening now to the Word of God. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. The way it was built and constructed, what this is meaning. Now, this is not meaning that Ezra was exercising any kind of tyrannical authority because he was above everybody. It's that it was for the use that they could hear and see and better hear what was going on. That's what this pulpit was constructed for. It wasn't to elevate a man in a carnal way. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. I like to think that he didn't even ask them to stand up. I've heard, been in places where somebody said, let's stand up for the reading of the word. I like to think nobody had to say a word to this crowd. I really think that the people that day were so expectant, so hungry, so desirous, I want to hear this. And they stood up as the book began to be opened and began to be read. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. I don't know what all Ezra did and what he said, but it was likely some utterance, something that he proclaimed the greatness of the Lord, the God Jehovah of these people that was gathered all around, expectation. Their hearts, they were looking up. They were interested in what thus saith the Word of God. Folks, in every age and era, when a people will look up and say, Lord, tell me what you want me to know. Reveal yourself to me. I want to tell you, God's willing to do that. He's not trying to hide from any of us, but he wants us to adore him. And I'm saying that not out of any kind of carnal demand. God loves us enough that our hearts ought to automatically return to him in adoration. Say, Lord, you've done enough. You've done so much. You're so merciful to us. I want to prove my love. I want to show you my love by listening and following you. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen. I don't know what Brother Ezra said, but the heart of the people said, that's so true. Amen, Amen. With lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Oh, there was both a lifting up of their hearts and a bowing of their head. There was a humility. They knew what was getting ready to be read to them was the Word of God and was precious. It had been something that they hadn't had access to for so long. And now, this that was penned by their patriarchs, those who had brought this scripture down to them, and what they had heard, been told about the preciousness of the counsel of God, it meant something to this group of people here this day. And they had this expectation. They praised and honored the Lord, and they bowed their heads and held up their hands toward the Lord. had their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua, and again a number of men there standing beside him, and the Levites. When the word was being read, listen to this. I don't know exactly how all this took place, but as the word was being read, it said, all these men up here above that was named, and I'll let you read that, they caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read the book in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. Here they were, this group of people. It sounds like it must have been quite a crowd around there. Expectation, they stood up. They heard Ezra praise the Lord, extol the mighty God of heaven, and they said, amen. Amen. And they held up their hands toward the Lord and bowed their heads toward the ground, honoring and loving and doing all they knew how to worship the Lord. And then Ezra read, and as the reading went forth, there were people that understood and was able to help the people around understand what this meant to them and their lives. The Lord in His mercy made it applicable to every individual there. Now, I believe Brother Wright a while ago said something about we all have our bite. And what he was meaning there is we came here to these services, to the meeting, and different messages were preached, and you likely got something out of a message that may have been different than what I got out of it. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. God Himself has been here breaking the bread and making it so that He addressed, perhaps with the same scripture, He addressed something differently in your life than in what He did in mine. That's the living word. That's the way the Lord, but He makes us understand what it means to me. It's what these brethren did back then. Made it plain. Made it understandable. I hope you've had that experience while we've been in these meetings the last 10 days. I know I have. I've been there. Sometimes I heard something that I just knew that the Lord Himself had shone a light right down in my understanding. And I never recognized that before and how it applied to me. You know what I had to do? What we all need to do whenever the Lord does that? We need to bow our heads and say, amen, amen, Lord. Thank You, Lord. You're the great God. Surely You love us as Your children. Thank You, Lord, for dealing with my heart. And I certainly hope you don't think that me as a minister here, hope you don't think I've reached such level of holiness that I haven't needed to hear the word of the Lord. Because we all do. Okay, how long we have lived for the Lord. Sister Clay here and Sister Charlotte, I don't know, there may be some others here that have lived for the Lord. They've lived for the Lord a long time. If we're counting years anyway, it's a long time. But I would say that both of them could stand up here and say they always need to hear the voice of the Lord. I don't care how long we've walked with the Lord. See their hands go up. One said amen and the other, yes, it's true. I can say from my experience, and any of us have walked with the Lord very long, we realize that if it's not for the Lord, we'll get tripped up. We need the Lord's voice. We need His word, and we also need when the Lord comes and He says something to our heart. We need that acceptance of heart. Lord, I hadn't seen it like that before. Thank You for making the application of that word plain to me. And personal and real. That always inspires me when I see how the Lord does that. There's some verses that, you know, we've read for years. And you can quote them. And they seem like, you know it, and you've turned it over so many times in your mind, and you've pondered it, and the Lord's applied it so many times in your life that you think you pretty well know what that means and how to use that verse. But then sometimes the Lord, in the middle of a message, will take that verse and point it out something else. That's so encouraging to me, because I know the Lord's able to use His Word to whatever particular need we have in our life. So we want to get on down here as we have watched them. So they read the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is a Tirshathah, if I can learn how to pronounce that, Tirshathah. You know what that means? I looked that up here a while back. It meant that he was, one definition of it was a stern ruler. That's not really a good definition to put to this, because it simply meant, it was a Persian word that simply was meaning somebody that had given the authority in this area. He was by the king of Persia, had given him this authority. How was he exercising this authority? Was it with sternness or meanness? We don't find that, do we? Nehemiah was exercising, or Ezra, who was the Tirshathite here? Nehemiah was. He had authority, but how he exercised it was with care and loving kindness. He had that authority. It was given to him. But it's not a very good way to exercise when we use carnal authority. That's not what God wants, will bless. Nehemiah, which was the anyway, y'all know him. And Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. It stirred them. Wonder what they must have heard. Oh, we weep sometimes for different reasons. When we are in the services and it seems like the Lord's blessing, anointing a message, and it's coming to your heart. I don't know. We all have different ways of expressing ourselves. But one of the ways I express myself is in tears. I'm so blessed that the Lord revealed that. I feel the Lord stirring, and I, in humility and thankfulness, a lot of times I express myself in tears. You don't have to. But sometimes people can cry because they're disappointed. Wish they wouldn't have heard that. That kind of hurt me. I feel bad. I'm going to go away feeling a little offended. And I would encourage us not to ever do that. Don't have to. I understand that offenses will come. And the Lord did say He didn't want us to woe to those through which the offense will come. But I would also like to encourage us to recognize we don't have to take an offense home and help it to grow. What's the words I'm trying to get here? We don't have to feed that offense. We don't have to pet it. Here's the reason why I say this to us. Maybe we can help the sense or the truth of this to apply to our life. If we take an offense home and we pet it and we excuse it and say, I have a right to feel this bad toward this person. They meant to offend me. Or sometimes if they did mean to offend us, it hurts us more than them if we take that offense home. Someplace and during these messages we've heard during the meeting, somebody, maybe his brother Marvin, said something about, and he applied it to some feeling or anger or something. But if we carry that home and hold that against somebody, it's like us drinking poison, hoping it'll hurt them. Don't do that. It's harmful. So the Lord would have us recognize there are hurtful things, but it doesn't mean we have to take it home and cry about it in a carnal way. Now we can bring it to the Lord and ask Him for help. Don't get me wrong, but don't nurse that. Don't, because it'll hurt us. Well, these people, they wept, and I don't know what all must have went through those who saw the people weeping. It stirred them. I hope they were all weeping because they heard the word of the Lord, and it probably brought conviction on their souls. They probably said, what did I just hear? What did that mean, brother? Did that mean what I thought I heard? We haven't been doing this. We've neglected this part of the Word of God. This is a God, this is a great God that we just lifted up our hands to and bowed our heads and said, amen. But now I read the Word and it said, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. We've been neglecting this. And they wept. Well, that's a good weeping. It's a good desire to change. Well, this was the answer. This day is holy unto the Lord, your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet. Go your way, put this in practice in your life. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now I believe during this meeting we've had some things that stirred our hearts. I believe there's been some things that the Lord came and some of them may have been, we had to wash it down with the grace of God and said, Lord, I bow my heads to you and I raise my arms. I want to say amen to you, Lord. I've seen something here. And it bothered me. Maybe bothered. I mean, it's not the right sense I mean, but it stirred my soul and I recognize I need to move up. And I go home, and we have a choice now to go home feeling, well, I don't like going there because it seemed like a message always hits me, and I just don't like feeling that way. I'm just going to mourn about it. No, this day's holy. Lift up our heads. And we have the joy, we have the opportunity. So the joy of the Lord is your strength. Thank the Lord when He comes by and talks with our hearts. It's the joy of the Lord is a strength to us. I know that we get tired and come toward the end of a meeting and we have a certain amount of loss perhaps of energy, exuberance in our meeting. I understand that. But we shouldn't go home sorrowful in our heart. We should say, thank you, Lord, for meeting with us. When you said through this meeting for me to take the cup and thank you for it, and you gave that cup with a measure that you knew was right for me, and I trust you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. Any time that the Lord said something to us that it felt a little bit, Lord, help me. I was hoping here tonight to hear something that just brought a soothing feeling. No, the Lord loves us enough to correct His children and to awaken us sometimes to a need that we have. I'm glad that He doesn't always come by and just confirm what I want to hear. Because if I'm wrong, I need Him to say, no, child, that's not right. And I believe our Heavenly Father loves us enough. He is a great God. Is that what Nehemiah said he was? The great God. And we say, amen, Lord, you are indeed a great and a loving God. And he talked to them and said, and he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. Now, I don't know how you want to apply that in your life. But I like to think perhaps we all may have gotten a little something from this meeting, that if we talk, if we go to talk to somebody else this next number of days and they say, ask, what was the meeting like? The Lord all met you. Oh yes, let me tell you some of the things the Lord gave me. Maybe they weren't here, it wasn't prepared for them, but we've got, still have something. Make portions for them too. Share it for them. Isn't that good? Shouldn't we do that? How about the people around our doorsteps sometime? We should always have a missionary spirit. You know, was it Brother Doug recently? A couple times I've heard Brother Dryas Gibson's name mentioned. He's been gone for a lot of years. I was a boy when he passed away. I remember playing his stories, hear some of his recordings. Brother Dryas Gibson was somebody that he spent a lot of time traveling, and he went into places that we would normally call sectism. He'd go in there, and they'd give him an opportunity to say something for the Lord. He'd stand up and give a testimony, and sometimes people would, in that congregation where he was, he didn't go out there and try to tear down their house, but he came down there and tried to show them Christ. There had been many times that somebody who was maybe there in that service would come and say, I heard what you said, and brother, that rang true in my soul. And it would start a conversation. You see, he was preparing something. He was giving portions to people that weren't, nothing was prepared. He had something to share with them. He loved people. That is the reason why we go out and try to share this. That is the push behind us that says, go out and talk because we love them. If we don't love them, you may as well stay home. You're not going to have anything to give them. And we need to love them enough that even if they don't look pretty, if they don't speak well, if they have purple hair, if they have all kinds of things wrong with them, love them enough to tell them the gospel. Some of those fake folks need it awfully bad. And I believe there's something that can come through genuinely when you love them in your heart, and it comes, the genuineness can come through. And folks, we're in a world where there's a whole lot of fakery going on. They're finding out. They run to what seems the next thing that they enjoy in this world. They go out after it and it doesn't help them. They go to this drug or this thing, whatever. They go to this lifestyle or that. And nothing satisfies. But if they can see you and I, look him in the eye and actually show him love. Sometimes that sparks hope. They say, they've got something. Don't know exactly, but prepare portions. Give portions to people who are, nothing's been prepared for. Folks, we've got a world of people that's nothing's been prepared. Foundations have been broken up in this world. People don't have anything to build on. And that's one of the greatest things that we have as God's people, as we have a foundation in Christ that people can safely and confidently build their lives on. Prepare portions for them. It doesn't cost much, folks. It doesn't cost much. It should be the joy of a heart. I've got something. I got a little something here in my pocket. No, I don't have much silver and gold. That's not, but what I do have. Got something. Got something for your soul. Don't do that with arrogance. But do that out of the heart of love for people. I don't want to tarry here too long, but I'll share some of the greatest joys I've had when I've been out on the mission field. I've been in areas, and some others of you have been there a lot more than I have. I've just only been a little small amount. But language barriers has always been something that scared me. I just don't feel comfortable when I can't talk with somebody. But I have found there's something they can understand, whether I can say that, speak their language or not. When they can see a genuine love that you have for them, they get that one. You don't have to even say the words right. They can tell when you care. One time I was walking down the road, a young man was sitting there by himself, stopped, talked to him a little, going to invite him to come to the meeting. I asked him about himself and what he did. And I asked him how old he was. He said he was just turned 18. I said, what are you going to do with your life? Where are you headed? I asked him about if he knew the Lord. He said, I used to. I said, why not now? I began to tell. Before we left there, folks, people know when you care. When you love them, they know. He began to share things. I don't know if he'd share that with other people or not, but they hearts open up when you love them. Before we left there, we were both on our bower in our heads right there on the side of the road talking to the Lord. We hugged each other, went our way. Lord, help us to prepare. And it's not hard. It's really not. Actually love our fellow man. Folks, we'd have been in trouble if Jesus didn't love us. We'd be in horrible trouble if he would have looked at us and said, well, I don't know. They're kind of difficult. That person over there, that young man there, he's hard-headed and he's not very lovable. But while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. He cared and he loved and he proved it on Calvary. So we have something to be very happy about. After this meeting has come to a close and we gather up in our memories all the things that the Lord has spoken to us about or perhaps touched us with and convicted our souls with, let us lift our hands to the Lord and bow our heads and say, amen, amen, my Lord. I want to serve you. Keep dealing with me, Lord. I want to make heaven more than anything else. Not interested in stopping anywhere between now and then. I've got to make heaven, and so do you. We must make it. And yes, there's a certain weeping that comes along. There's a certain stirring in our heart that comes along when the Lord convicts us. But then there's also a realization that this day is holy to the Lord. And then he says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we're going to go home and carry this meeting with us. And as you go, say, thank you, Lord. And allow it to work in our lives. Don't let these things slip. Put them in practice in our life. And allow the joy of the Lord to be alive in our souls. May it be not a false joy, not something, not just emotion. Emotion, the Lord gave us emotions, but he meant for us to be rulers of our emotion. It's not supposed to be just a carnal expression. Emotion is a good thing. But it's not just emotion. We want the real joy of the Lord in our life. And that comes by saying, amen, Lord. Oh, I want to walk with you. And we find him sweeter every day. And we can go forth not with our head hung down and say, oh, no, I felt like I got whipped down there. Oh, we should lift our head and say, Lord, thank you for coming by and touching my soul. And the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Go forth now. Show Christ to the world. With the joy of the Lord in your heart. With the love of God expressed in our life. The love of God that causes us to be willing to put ourselves out a little. Oh, so little most of the time too. Sometimes it's just by smiling at somebody. Go down the aisle of Walmart. Had a fellow the other day. I like going down, when I'm in Walmart, I like going down that aisle where it says clearance on it. You know what I'm talking about. Seeing what's there. Another man was there too. He was a little rough. Got to talking. Didn't take long that we could say, didn't take long before we could say some things about the Lord. You don't even have to, it just be your nature. And the joy of the Lord begins to come out. We have so many opportunities for ourselves also, that the joy of the Lord will be in my life when I walk away from here and begin to live tomorrow. And I hope all of you make it home safe. We pray the Lord will bless and rest your bodies and inspire you again for tomorrow, whether it be on the job or whether it be whatever you have before you, raising children. The joy of the Lord is going to be your strength. Allow the Lord to bless us and encourage us and inspire us and correct us, because it's all in the wonderful package that the Lord Himself loves us and chastens us and is willing to help us make heaven. I want to let Him do that. Pray for me. I want to serve Him.